This is KWAI, Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Turn your lamp down low. Turn your lamp down low, and baby, please don't go. You know I love you so. Baby, please don't go. Now, baby, please don't go. Baby, please don't go. Baby, please don't go.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Last week and a couple of days before that, or shows before that, we talked about illegal dumping and its impact and what have you. And how rampant it was. Well, we're fortunate this morning to have, as I told you about, there's an area in Whitmore by Wahiwa. And just an absolutely unbelievable amount of trash and illegal dumping occurring. And when I mean number, we're talking about hundreds, thousands, truckloads, tractor-trailer loads. So what's happening is that we're still trying to pursue this. And, you know, we're trying to work, I won't say work with the state. Unfortunately, one of the shortcomings of what I do, when everybody escapes the system, sneaks around the system, you would think we have people in place to monitor them and regulate and arrest and what have you. Well, for some reason, they're able to open and operate in a way that they go undetected. Or they go detected, but there is no teeth out there, no regulator who's willing to pursue them. So now we got this humongous case that we've uncovered, and thanks to some of the drivers and other members that work for this particular company. And so what's happening is that some of the drivers and others have come to come forward with some very interesting and specific details. And we have, I guess, kind of disappointed in that the state health department, we've basically had to take a rope and hook around the neck or a leash and beg them and cajole them and badger them into going out and looking at it. And they finally did, in a way that they come back and have confirmed that at least a canyon or a small gully has been filled by this illegal activity. So having said all that and got everything out of the way here, the little technical problems, I have a caller on the line, and he's joining us. Caller, good morning. How are you?
Good morning.
Thank you for calling, and what we're going to do is hopefully you can share with the listeners, give them an insight of what this thing called illegal dumping or illegal activity or behavior of disposing of waste that is inconsistent with the laws. And you worked for this company at one time, correct? GLADS or Ideal Innovations?
Ideal Innovations, mm-hmm. For about almost 2 years.
Okay. And then if you could, can you describe this area and the access to it? I've spoken briefly about it in the past. Can you give the listeners some idea what it looks like? Is it some dark, dingy, or is it just an open area? Or if you could, give some description of it. Is it in the jungle, or is it on the side of the road?
It's in a property up at Whitmore, right before the military base.
Mm-hmm.
And it's a big, big property, and it has a lot of trash and rubbish and debris that was brought in.
Mm-hmm.
It was mentioned to the boss that this might be illegal, what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
And his thing was, that's all right. By the time we get out of here, everything will be overgrown. Nobody will know.
Mm-hmm. And they are, the owner of this company, they're, leasing the land from Dole?
They're leasing from Dole.
Mm-hmm.
In the start, when I used to go up there, Dole used to come in and make inspections on the property.
Mm-hmm.
Then they stopped.
Mm-hmm.
Never saw Dole back up there again.
Mm-hmm. And Dole has a land inspector, correct, or agent that handles these leases.
Yes, they mm-hmm. do.
So this area now, can anybody gain access to this area, or is it accessible only to people with keys? Is it locked? How does that work?
That gate is locked 24/7, and there's only a few of us that have the keys to go in.
Mm-hmm.
So no one would be able to go in.
Mm-hmm.
But when they had dumping going on and they had other companies going in there, they had one of us there monitoring who was coming in and what they was bringing in, so we would keep the gate open, but mm-hmm. being stationary there so we could see what they're bringing in and what they're dumping.
Mm-hmm. Now, for the listeners, I'd actually called and spoken with both owners of the companies, and they basically, to describe it, passed the buck and said, it's not theirs, it's theirs. They shared with me, these owners said they never had any drivers, so what I was asking could not be factual because they never had any drivers, and that they believe that anyone was just driving in on their property and dumping it. And so I've seen the locks there, but generally the locks are controlled, correct? You only certain people have the keys?
Yep, there's only a small handful of people that works for that Ideal Innovation and GLADS
mm-hmm.
that have the keys.
Mm-hmm.
No one comes in there. If they don't know who the people are or what they're bringing in, they cannot get in.
Mm-hmm. Well, I tried to call the owners again yesterday Friday to invite them on the show or for comments. They've already given me comments earlier, and they just simply ignored, didn't call me back. But one particular item that I'm interested in, and you know the greater details, there is, and I've been able to see what was described to me as waste from the Olawai Canal that have been picked up and shipped, gathered up from the Olawai on a state contract from Dobar, and then taken and dumped up in Whitmore, Can you, were you closely situated with that or familiar with that, and can you tell the listeners, how was that handled? Did any of that material from Olawai go to Whitmore?
In the 2 years that I worked for them, I went through the Olawai a couple of times to pick up the rubbish and haul it out.
Mm-hmm.
And none of it was taken to the PBT landfill or even the Waimanalo Gulch landfill.
Mm-hmm.
It was taken straight to Whitmore, dumped on the side of a road in Whitmore, made a long wind roll of it. If you go up to Whitmore now, because it's been up there for so long, there's grass grown all over, but you still can see the rubbish that's there from Olawai.
Mm-hmm.
Everything was taken straight to Olawai. It was hauled out by tractor trailers and roll-off trucks.
Mm-hmm. And listeners probably saying, well, gee, sounds like you participated, but let me describe. This gentleman, this company had actually gone and obtained a, quote, a green waste recycling permit from the state health department, which basically is nothing more than a stage curtain where once you get behind that curtain, you can operate and do whatever you want to, because they don't go and inspect and follow up and regulate. So is that the case in this situation?
You're asking if they were doing green waste recycling up in Whitmore?
Well, I mean, the situation where they have obtained this permit and but doing other things outside of the green waste permit.
The only green waste thing that they did is glads do tree trimming, and they hauled everything up to Whitmore and just stockpile it up there. There's piles after piles. I mean, truckloads after truckloads came in.
Mm-hmm.
That's the only thing they did with green waste.
Mm-hmm.
Other than that, everything else up there was trash.
Mm-hmm. Now, you met with the state health department, and I'm always characterizing the people as being problematic and unwilling to go and do the job. Did you get the feeling that the in your original contacts with the state health department authorities that they were eager and anxious to follow through with this?
Nope. To me, it seemed like the inspector that went up to Whitmore, after he called me when he did his inspection, he sounded like he went up there with his eyes closed, because
mm-hmm.
I tried to explain to him where things was up there, and even big equipment that you cannot miss. He was like, I didn't see that.
Mm-hmm.
I didn't see that.
And this is sitting right on the road.
It's sitting right there. You cannot miss it. If you drive by it, you probably run into it.
So you go away with the impression, I notice you sounded discouraged, and I take a minute and share with the listeners out there that's the most difficult part of what it is that I do, is when the public, like your listeners, trust that you could call me, and then I in turn go and deliver this information. But my hands are tied in a sense. It's kind of a dumb system where your last effort, where you finally decide to pick up the phone and call, you give it to me, you relinquish your trust there. Then I go into the state, the same people that failed to do their job, now I'm at their mercy in a sense, to hand them yet another opportunity, and then you have to browbeat them to go in and do the job of inspecting, and yet they don't want to do the inspection or drag their feet. So the other day, Steve Chang actually went there and confirmed that there was a gully that had been filled, as if we would be fibbing or lying to or manufacturing this. They were able to go out there and confirm that a gully, at least 30 foot deep, and I don't know, 60, 80 feet long. The gully is longer than that, but a portion of it had been filled. Can you
yep.
describe the filling of that gully, for example? How did that take place? And for what period of time? And if you remember, who was doing any of the dumping?
Can I mention the other trucking company's name on the radio that
yeah.
helped us?
Yeah, I mean, as long as it's factual and true, I'll stand behind it, and go ahead. And I've spoken to other trucking companies that admit that they have, but
yeah.
go ahead.
We hauled out of Schofield Military Base
mm-hmm.
from Sea Alaska, and a lot of that material that we hauled into Whitmore went right into that gully.
Mm-hmm.
And from my counts that came in, because we had to actually count the truckloads because they were being charged, to dump there. The company was charging them a dumping fee to dump there. Over 400 truckloads came in between them, Island Hauling, and us, Ideal Innovation, that went into that valley with stumps, I mean, humongous tree stumps, dirt, rocks, cement, cement slabs, asphalt that was grinded off of the road. There's pipes, trash, everything went in that valley to fill that valley up.
Wow. And they all dumped, and what has been confirmed, too, is that they actually were charging a fee, and to charge a fee, they had a recycling permit, but there's no landfill permit that they had to allow and charge for dumping.
They charge every truckload. Nobody dumps in there for free. Everybody that comes in there dumps and pays to dump their load there.
And you indicated, and there was one site that we actually filmed where you show that the dirt is piled up and they actually dug a hole and dumped dirt. Can you share with the listeners?
Yes.
I don't want to bore them with these little minor details, but I want to give them an insight on this is what an illegal dumping practice is, and the magnitude of it is what I'm trying to convey.
When I was up there, there was this other company by the name of Concrete Coring that came in with big roll-off trucks. It was supposed to be just dirt mixed in with grass. Well, when they dumped it, because I was working there, I got to see the load that's coming out of the can, and it was filled with trash. I mean, like they did a demo from a house. They had wire, they had old washing machines, car rims, plastic, PVC pipes, you name it, it was in these loads. And when I called the supervisor from Ideal Innovation, he told me, oh, okay, just try to separate whatever you can and put it on the side. So I did all of that, and a couple of days later, I come back up there, and I see the supervisor digging a hole with the excavator, and he's burying the trash that's up there. So I'm just a worker. I'm not going to question him. It's his property. He's leasing it. And I'm just shaking my head because now I know that's not right, you know? And he just did it, covered it up. After putting the trash inside, he was left over with a lot of dirt. So the dirt is just piled up right there in front of that pile is the hole that he dug.
So there was an area, another driver as well shared with me, and like yourself and some other people that worked closely with that, there was a Cam 4 housing, a brick, a rock brick wall with mortar and what have you that was dumped, transported up there. Can you confirm that or share with the listeners what went on there and what quantity?
Cam 4 housing, they had a job up there, and Prometheus Construction Company was doing the job, and they had a big rock wall in the back of the property that fell over. They dug out the wall with the cement and everything, and had it hauled up to Whitmore. And we was the company that hauled it, Ideal Innovation. And we took truckloads out of there. And they had trash, they had wood, they had everything from that place that came out of that job site and was hauled straight up to Whitmore. And they were charged a dumping fee for that. And same company that we work, you know, with, that Prometheus, we did another job for them in UH Manoa. Rock wall again. They dug out the rock wall, cement and everything. All that dirt, all that debris that came out of there went straight up to Whitmore. And if you go onto the property in the back, there's a big mountain that's covered with grass. If somebody were to dig out that grass, and they'll find cement, pipes, plastic, black netting, trash, cement slabs as big as your cars, and everything in there.
Now, for you coming forward and sharing this, again, I had asked you earlier about your perception or understanding and how you go away, your opinion now of the State Health Department. Do you think that they're the pit bulls that they should be in this situation, or do you think they're just little putty cats?
I think they're the putty cats.
I this is rare occasion that I feel empty in the stomach, and I've given a lot to this agency, but this time, based on how they received me, you, and others, and still, in the last conversation, they're not disclosing and didn't go up and probe and dig to the extent that they should have with the availability of, and the willingness on your part and other drivers to go there and show them, you know, take their hands and show them. They weren't excited about it and still yet to be aggressive.
Yeah, you know, it's like you said, you know, I felt like they went up there with their eyes closed. They mm-hmm. wasn't digging enough to look.
Mm-hmm.
And I felt like it was a waste of my time, or even your time, to even bring it to this guy. So maybe we need to knock it up a notch and go over these guys' heads.
Yeah. Well,
and do the things that need to be done.
Yeah, go to the EPA and at least file a formal complaint. But in any other place, any other setting, based on what I see and the evidence and the willingness on the people coming forward and willing to testify and sign affidavits and what have you. Have they asked you for an affidavit yet?
Nope.
So, we've made several attempts to contact the health department, and you went down there to meet with them, but they didn't.
You would think that would be the first thing that they would ask for, you know, mm-hmm. so that they know that I'm serious. I'm not just there trying to make up a story.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but none of that was mentioned. It was like, I told them what was told, and they were like, oh, okay, let's take a look into it. But nothing, you know, like you said, nothing aggressive.
Yeah.
They were like little putty cats in there.
Mm-hmm. And they, I went away thinking, you know, yet again, and then just on the cusp of that, I'm going to share this later on, I've contacted them with serious violations and come to learn that they've never done anything and wouldn't even bother to respond. If the person didn't call them back that was doing the dumping or responsible for the dumping, didn't call them back, they didn't pursue it. And that is a sad commentary on the part of the state efforts in preventing illegal dumping and then addressing illegal dumping.
Yeah, that's real poor on their part.
Mm-hmm.
It's so easy to get the records on where they picked up the material from and where did they take it mm-hmm. and all that. All they had to do was do a little bit of work, and they would find this out in one day.
Mm-hmm. And instead, it's as if they are one hand over their eyes and saying, don't make me look at this. And we're going to, when they should have been in this mode, you are willing, other drivers willing, they should have set up something and said, okay, we're going to go in there and they have permission to go in because they've gone up there. And it's owned by Dole. So for the listeners, there's this layer of protectionism when, in fact, there's Dole Company. So I don't know if that's a factor. I don't know if that's a factor in this process, that because Dole is a big landowner, they're willing to just drag their feet and really don't want to go, when in fact they should have gone on and taken an action. And
yeah. You know, mm-hmm. I've worked for the government for quite some time, and from what I've learned through past histories, government workers come to work and they draw their pay and they go home and they turn the blind eye to whatever is wrong.
Mm-hmm.
When they should have an agency in there, like you said earlier, correcting this and being on top of them to do their job the right way.
Mm-hmm.
That's what us taxpayers pay them for.
Mm-hmm.
To do their jobs and do it the right way, regardless of whose toes they're going to step on.
Mm-hmm.
If somebody did wrong, wrong is wrong, and right is right.
Right, right.
They should be taken accountable for whatever they did wrong there.
But they're dragging their feet, and I'm stuck on stupid with this one.
You know, the state's dragging their feet. This lease there is going to end December. Once the lease ends, how are they going to take care of this matter? They're going to say, we wasn't up there after this. Somebody could have dumped it after that lease was ended.
Yeah. In theory, it would, who is responsible is the landowner. Therefore, Dole is the landowner.
And it would be Dole, because Dole is the landowner, and they would be getting stuck coming up there and have digging everything out and cleaning everything, and now they got to pay for the dumping and all that.
But if the state decide, put one hand over the eye and hold your hand and just say, well, we don't really need to go up there, so Dole would never be compelled until they sell the land maybe to clean it up.
Yeah, and then by then it'll be too late.
Mm-hmm. And all the contaminants and anything else that's present there, rusting away, rotting away, leaching away into the groundwater. And, you know, in this area situated into this thing that the governor, Abercrombie, came out talking about managing water in the woodland communities and the watershed. And yet, you don't see the aggressive posturing or behavior. But on the Olowi, I spoke to the owner, and he said, no, I took the material. I didn't take it from the Olowi. I took it to my yard in Mapunapuna and sorted it there and took the wood and then took the plastics and put it in Honolulu disposal when they recycle the plastic. Can you speak to that? Is there any truth to that?
Yeah, that is not the truth. It was hauled from Olowi straight to Whitmore, and there's log sheets to verify that.
Mm-hmm.
And when we take the log sheets, we write the log sheets in, we put the description of the material we're picking up, where is it from, where it's taken, the time we get there, the time we leave, and everything that I hauled out of Olowi was hauled straight to Whitmore from the orders of Eliza.
And they are now not owning up to it.
Oh, they're not going to own up to it because now it actually involves the state again, and it's like defrauding the state, you know, charging them for a dumping fee that they should have taken it to the landfill, and they didn't. So they're getting dumping fees for dumping on a property that they're not getting charged for.
I see. Well, I had a chance to see some of those copies of the weight ticket that you were talking about, and I mean, it's scary when you look to see. Supposedly the guy had a green waste recycling, but then he's able to write in his logbooks and his drivers that they're taking cement, rock, coal, plane, and everything up there to this property. But now there is one other property involved in this, correct? And that's in Waimanalo. How is that property in the scheme of things in this whole effort? How does that come in, and what happens on that property? Is it being used similar to this to Whitmore?
Well, that property there is actually being used like a staging area.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of the debris and trash that's brought into that property is from various job sites that is closer to Waimanalo.
Mm-hmm.
And when they take the trash, we drop it off in Waimanalo, and then when it's slow day of work, and we go down to Waimanalo, load up the semis, and bring it up to Whitmore.
Mm-hmm.
And they have other companies that come into Waimanalo and drop off green waste and get charged. There is a logbook that is down there in one of the abandoned trucks that they have down there. The driver fills up the log, seeing how much he brought in, how much loads he brought in, and they charge them according to that.
Mm-hmm.
And then we haul the green waste and bring it up to Whitmore and just dump it in the back of the property, push it over the side into valleys.
Mm-hmm.
And whatever cement, rocks, and debris, whenever we get time, we load it up in the truck, and we take it straight up to Whitmore.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And he's saying all along, he has a recycling permit. And did he ever show you guys the actual permit?
Never once we seen a permit.
He just tell you he has his permit, and like myself, when I contacted the state didn't know the particulars of the permit, but they do know they had issued him one, and they now say the permit only allowed him to work up to 50 feet of the canyon, but that's with green waste, but not coal, plain rock, boulders, cement slabs, and all of that. So, ladies and gentlemen, this one here takes a cake because it's being done under a permit that's really not a permit, that the site isn't permitted. It was just for stockpiling and processing green waste, leaves and what have you, and grinding. And then they would move it out. But again, there come some specific plans with it. They did nothing.
Yeah, they did nothing with the green waste up there.
Mm-hmm.
It was like a big front because of the permit that they had. And all of the trash and cement and debris and stuff that was hauled in there was... There's a big mountain up there right now. I can show anybody that wants to see it. That the material there is so contaminated with trash. And they're hoping that by the time anybody sees it, the grass grows over it and nobody will notice that that's there.
Mm-hmm.
But we hauled in truckloads after truckloads. And one of the jobs that I had, one of the responsibilities I had was to push it up, cover it with dirt on top so nobody can see and they think that's just a dirt mountain. Mm-hmm.
Now, you accompanied me up to, or I accompanied you, I should describe it, to see Alaska. And see Alaska pointed out some alarming behavior, and that was they found a military bunker, and portions of that went up to Whitmore, and that's a formerly used defense site. And in that discussion, do you recall, or the particulars of... the gentleman telling us about the radiated warfare that they were using, the nuclear materials that was used on bullets and things of that nature that they had discovered occurred in this on this property?
Yes. I remembered it like it was yesterday.
And so what he then say that the soil went here and there, willy-nilly, Parson or whomever took some and... Did you understand the greater details of that?
Well, from what he was telling us, you know, the job got shut down, and they wanted to find out who was going to be responsible to take it out and all that. They had the dirt moved here to various places. And he actually admitted to us that it was contaminated, and the military took a portion of it, and they disposed of it.
Mm-hmm.
And the rest was hauled out.
And to points unknown, as he described, but he said that a lot of the materials went to Whitmore, but he didn't give any specific details. But do you remember when we were talking to him, he talked about how the trucking was so, there were so many truckloads being transported there that they had to take a water truck up there to wash the road?
He said he spent days up there, which that was true. I know I've seen the water truck up there washing the road, and this is not exaggerated. Over 200 truckloads came into Whitmore.
Mm-hmm.
And Whitmore, it rains a lot. So a lot of the trucks that was coming out was dragging out mud onto the road that he was responsible for to come up there and wash.
Mm-hmm. And he told us he paid some $200 a truckload, but on one occasion the guy wanted $400-something because...
He claims that it was $200-something a truckload, and anything that came in there with rubbish in it, meaning concrete, rebars, or anything other than the stumps and dirt, Eliza wanted to charge him a lot more money.
Mm-hmm.
But he got charged a lot more money because nobody came and taking out the stuff. And it was just pushed into the valley and covered up and made a road to cross over the valley to go to the horse.
Mm-hmm. So I was noticing that some of those notes that we had, JNS, and they did some work for a company called JNS, and Sea Alaska had quite a bit. What are some of the other companies that maybe be interested in knowing that they hired this company, Innovations, and thinking that it would be going to the landfill or the proper disposal site, but ended up going to Whitmore. You know of any other companies that might be listening? Or
right off the top, I can't recall names.
Mm-hmm.
I know Prometheus is one of the companies. There's a lot of small other companies that we hired for that probably thought that the things was going to the landfill.
Mm-hmm.
Don't know that we were taking it to Whitmore and being charged a dumping fee.
Right.
But anybody that works with Ideal Innovation needs to check his background first, because he does a lot of crooked work in this kind of way. Mm-hmm. Where he charges you for a load that was disposed at his place, and you thinking that it was disposed the proper way at the landfill.
Mm-hmm. And you have specific instances that you...
Oh, we have a lot of incidents. Mm-hmm. You know, there's a lot of books that we have to fill out a dump... I shouldn't say a dump log. It's like a receipt book. Mm-hmm. A three-stage receipt book. We fill it up. One copy goes to the company we're working for. One copy stays in a truck, and one copy goes in our office.
Mm-hmm.
And there's tons of books, and some of them that you see, that's the same kind of books that I'm talking about.
Mm-hmm. Now, you're sharing with me, and I've found this to be true in other situations. In this case, a homeowner would hire for trucking, a homeowner, let's say, a private business, and then be charged for another load or a double load?
We've been on job sites that there are people working on the job site that is friends with him.
Mm-hmm.
And we're either taking material off of the property or bringing in material.
Mm-hmm.
And he will tell us to, well, if you bring in 3 loads, put down 5 loads.
Mm-hmm.
And I questioned. I said, what do you mean? He said, don't worry. The guy that's over there is going to sign the tag.
Mm-hmm.
And we later found out that the guy that signs the tag is the guy that's making money off of that extra loads along with Eliza.
So they're not just, if when there's 3 loads needed, the contractor is doing it, he requests 3 loads, but they pad it by throwing in 5, and then the contractor gets to keep the charge for 1 load and then share the other load with the owner of the company, Innovations of Glads?
Contractor gets to share a load with the company, and reason for that is, thank you for getting me the job, so this is for you and this is for me.
Mm-hmm. That's above the regular fee for trucking.
It's above the regular fee for trucking.
Wow. My. Okay. And when they transport it to the landfill, if they do, they charge the homeowner or prop business owners extra? How is that done?
When we go to the landfill, you have to give a clearance number to come in.
Mm-hmm.
You give them your clearance number, you go in and dump. When you come out, you stop on the scale, they scale your truck, they give you a tag that comes out of a computer there. And a tag tells you how many tons you had, what do they charge per ton. And when we get the tag, we take it back to the office. Eliza sends the bill to the customer. If he gives them an accurate account of what was dumped and all, I really don't know that part.
Mm-hmm.
But I've known that he has told us many, many times, oh, if they say that you took this much, tell them you took that much.
Mm-hmm.
Or if they say how heavy was the load, tell them it was this much.
Mm-hmm. Now, you know, there's homeowners out there or businesses that might deal with any trucking company. What advice could you give the homeowners or businesses to watch for or to prevent this kind of extra pay that is built into this? Any tips?
I would urge the homeowners out there to be very careful of who they work with, you know, not only with this company, but with anybody that hauls for them or take material out for them, find out where they're dumping if they're taking out. Find out if they're legally dumping or
mm-hmm.
illegally dumping, because if it comes off of your property, you can get into trouble for it.
Mm-hmm.
And if they're bringing in material, find out where they're picking it up from. If it's from a reputable rock quarry or, you know, somebody reputable where you can get a receipt on how much tons was brought to you. And
mm-hmm.
how much was charged per ton.
Mm-hmm.
So they cannot fool you and turn around and say, I brought you 5 tons, but you actually got 2 tons.
Mm-hmm. And how do they, just let's say a layman, homeowner, how would they gauge whether it was tons or what have you? Is there anything that they can...
If somebody's bringing in a material for you, mm-hmm. they should have, from where they picked it up, most likely they're going to go to a rock quarry to get rocks.
Mm-hmm.
If they're bringing in dirt, a semi-truck can haul anywhere from 15 to 18 tons legally.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Go ahead.
If they bring a truck in there and it's not full and they tell you, oh, it's 25 yards and it's 20 tons, and I would actually question them about it.
Actually see the receipt and then maybe call the company or that they picked it up from.
Where it came from, who's the company they picked it up from,
mm-hmm.
call them up and say, hey, I had a truck come in there, pick up a load for me. Is this the correct amount that they picked up from you?
Right.
That's easy to do. It takes all of 1 minute and 30 seconds to do it.
Mm-hmm. Like, let's say someone's doing a landscaping and they want Minnehunan magic. They could actually, the guy picks it up in Campbell Industrial Park, drives it to their site. The homeowner or business can call back Minnehunan magic and say, did the Cox Trucking pick up this under this invoice, and what was the tonnage? Is that what you're saying?
They can call Minnehunan if they want any kind of soil conditioner, topsoil, or any kind of compost from them, and
mm-hmm.
ask them. I had a company come in, pick up this much amount for me. What was the tonnage, and how much did it cost per
mm-hmm.
ton?
Mm-hmm.
And the company will give it to them right over the phone.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah, and that's one way of guarding against, sounds like this is a hornet's nest of problems, and the bigger problem is the environmental consequences. And for homeowners and businesses, there is a CERCLA, the rules under the federal law. And one of the things is that it's what they call cradle to grave. So let's say you're having someone tear down your home and there's asbestos. That company takes that material and transports it and dumps it in the mountains or in the streams or what have you. Believe it or not, you, the homeowner, if the agency responsible for the enforcement was actually aggressive enough, they could come and hold you accountable because it is the generator. So if you give it to a company and that company takes it and dumps it along the road, it's still your responsibility as a business or as a generator.
Exactly.
So, you know, don't want to scare the homeowners out there, but that's one of the problems. And why am I talking about this at length? Again, as I said earlier, and I thank you, caller, for helping me walk through this, but we always hear about illegal dumping. We always hear about how bad it is. We think there's guys walking around with hoods on and there's a truck. Someone fills it with chemicals and contaminants and parks it in a dark alley, and then a driver comes along and gets in it and drives it off and goes to the bushes and dumping. But in fact, it's all pretty much overt and open. It's just that it's layered in trickery. Is that right?
Exactly. They're doing it right under the state agency's nose.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they're finding these little loopholes that they can get around.
Mm-hmm.
And like you said, they got the permits for green waste and stuff. And in the back of that, they're doing everything else that they're not supposed to be doing.
Right, because why is that truck, you know, as just a casual onlooker, why is that truck going by there, that big truck going in there? I see it all the time. So, okay, you call the state. Let's just say you're curious and you call the state. And the state says, oh, yeah, but they have a permit to recycle logs and green waste. Oh, okay. But the state has never left their office to confirm that they are operating outside of the conditions of that permit. So it's by hook and crook. And anyway, you there?
Yeah, I'm here.
Okay. But anything in closing you want to share with us? And hopefully we can get this to the EPA and file a complaint with EPA because I think this is substantially more than anything that I've seen for a long time in the state here or in environmental problems.
Yeah, you know, in closing, it's just to the homeowners, to anybody that's needing any kind of job to be done. Be careful of who you deal with. Be careful of how you approach them and how you get your material. And, you know, you can easily find out how much. You can ask questions anytime.
Mm-hmm.
and trying to find out if you're being ripped off or everything is legit.
Yeah, let me ask you something real quick, and I wanted to do this earlier. I want to convey to the homeowners or business out there that might be doing business with this business or any other business. Can you describe the conditions of their grinder? They have a tub grinder. What is the safety conditions of that? Is it safe? You told me about lack of air brakes. Can you just share that real quick?
As for that machine being safe, it's totally, totally unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
He was brought up to see Alaska in Schofield. It was kicked off of the property because he was unsafe.
Mm-hmm.
They have, when you work construction, they have a safety man that walks around and checks out everything.
Mm-hmm.
And it's totally unsafe because these people that's running this tub grinder never went to a class to learn about it.
Mm-hmm.
And how safe it is or how unsafe it is if you have people walking around when you're grinding.
Mm-hmm.
I think that because I've worked with a company that has a tub grinder, the class that we went to, there's a 500 feet barrier that while that machine is in running, nobody needs to be walking around that machine 500 feet away from it because
mm-hmm.
the hammers come off of that thing and it flies. It can take a man's head right off.
Mm-hmm.
And hauling on the road from job site to job site, I've hauled that machine with no brakes.
Mm-hmm.
And the attitude they have is, if you don't do it, you don't have a job. So what are we supposed to be doing? We have
mm-hmm.
a family to feed.
Mm-hmm.
We have house rent that's got to be paid.
Mm-hmm.
You know, you take a chance getting out there because you need to get paid. And if anything happens, you cross your finger, you know, you cross your fingers that nothing happens.
Mm-hmm.
But if anything happens, who's responsible? The driver for
mm-hmm.
taking it out on the road.
And then this is a machine that's a couple tons in weight.
This machine is heavier than the truck that's hauling it.
Mm-hmm.
And if you try to stop with it, the brakes was intentionally taken off of this machine. So that they don't have to repair brakes on that machine. The machine has no brakes whatsoever.
Mm-hmm.
And it comes with an air brake system on it already.
Mm-hmm.
There's no brakes on that machine.
So the only thing you have there is electronic...
You have an electronic plug that you plug in so that the hazard lights work.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Okay. Wow. Well, we're going to stay on top of it, and I hope you're willing to hang in there with us on this, because when I spoke to Steve Chang, I was left on Friday feeling that I had gone and given all, and yet I didn't see the excitement and the aggressive nature that I should have seen displayed in getting to the bottom of this, right?
Yeah.
So... But we'll hang in there, and hopefully they will approach you and get an affidavit. But I'm just shocked that they didn't get one from you when you were willing and suggesting that they take one so that it would be in writing, sworn to in the works. But they didn't see that. Tipped me off right there that some hanky panky and politics going to come into play.
Yep.
Yeah. Well, anyway. Mm-hmm.
You let me know if there's anything I can do to help.
All righty. Well, thank you again.
Okay.
All right. Aloha.
Thank you. Bye-bye.
Again, this is the Carol Cox Show, and I was speaking with a driver who formerly working with driving for GLADS Landscaping and Tree Trimming and Ideal Innovation. And I've spoken about this the situation of dumping of solid waste and materials that's suspected of hazardous waste. But again, getting the government to confirm, the state health department to confirm this is, we're still trying to work with them. But always remember, if you see one little thing that we do on TV, you can't imagine the difficulty. You go out, you document it, and you have the drivers or whomever, the witness to come forward. They tell me, I go back and document it. Then I go and give it to the state, and the state, I mean, it's sad. It's a shameful process. You got to compel them or force them to take an interest. Then, if you see it on TV, even then, The media gives the state a courtesy because they are the authorities, and you don't hear the bone cracking or approach that, look, if you're the regulatory body, this is the media, then how did this happen and what's going on? Instead, the media will say, well, we can't get the state to make a statement today, so therefore we won't do anything. And so I'm just sharing with you some of the, not frustrations, but something that when you stand back and look at our environment, this is the nature of it. This is the way it works here. And it's not just corruption. It's lethargic practices. People just won't get off of their you-know-what to do anything. And when you bring it to them, they then want to show they have a smart streak in them. And we're going to talk a little bit more about this because they got some other connections to this. But I'll be back in the next hour, and thank you for joining. You can pick this up at Carol, at carolcox.com is the email, and Carol Cox, CarolCox.com, 524-1080 is the number if you want to join in. Thank you.
Let me tell all the men what we mustn't do. Don't love a woman like she says she loves you. She'll call you honey, she will call you pie. She'll let things get away on the slide. Then she'll move, Kansas City. She will move, Kansas City. She will move, honey, baby, why they don't lie to you. I was first on Main Street, start down Beale, looking for the girl they call Lucille. We gon' move, Kansas City. We gon' move, Kansas City. We gon' move, baby, honey, why they don't lie you. I got one bulldog, two shep and a greyhound. Three high yellows, two blacks, and one brown. We gon' move, Kansas City. We gon' move to Kansas City. We gon' move, Kansas City. Baby, why they don't lie you? I'm gon' move, Kansas City. I'm gon' move to Kansas City. I'm gonna move, baby, honey, why they don't lie to you. My mama told me, papa told me too, everybody grin your face, fur ain't no friend to you. You better move, Kansas City. I'm gonna move, Kansas City. I'm gonna move, Kansas City, baby, why they don't lie to you. It takes a rockin' chair to rock, rubber ball to roll, a brown-skinned woman to satisfy a furry soul. I'm gonna move, Kansas City. I'm gonna move, Kansas City.
Stay tuned for the second half of the Carol Cox Show right after the news on KWAI Honolulu.
This is KWAI Honolulu, 1080 on the AM dial.
Okay, fellas, all the band can take a smoke now. Everybody take a break. Just leave the piano myself up here. I'm gonna play this by myself, just the piano and myself, just the way I feel. Oh, yeah. I know it sounds good to you, baby. Makes me think about some of my used to be's. I met a lot of fine girls in my life. Some good, some bad. forget some of those girls that I met. I remember Alice. And that was Lucille. And that was Doretha. And I can't forget Elsa. All those girls give me the blues. And then that was Nancy. Yeah. I can see them all sitting out there in the house tonight, you know. Sit there, listen to me, baby. Yeah. Well, Detroit gonna play the blues for you this morning. That's me, baby. Detroit, the Michigan kid. I'm gonna do this for myself right here, listen.
It's time for the Carol Cox Show on K108, heard every Sunday from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. If you have questions for Carol, our number here is 524-1080, 524-1080.
Okay, welcome back to the Carol Cox Show, the second half. I want to thank the earlier caller, former driver for GLADS and Ideal Innovation, or interchangeably. Anyway, why, and I don't want to bore you with this, but I'm a believer in, I don't like that discussion of or labeling of that's an environmentalist or this is an environmental problem, but they never bother to give the depth of what is actually happening and how do we arrive at a contaminated river. How do we arrive at a contaminated plot of land or a site that end up needing to spend millions and millions of taxpayers' dollars to clean it up? Or how do we get a brownfield site? And a brownfield site, there's a couple here in this state and one out there at Kalailoa, which they've now situated a solar panel farm on. And what that means is that the contamination is so bad that, and it's so expensive. And generally what happened in most of these cases, or all of these cases, the government entity that regulates it sits on the thumb and does nothing. And a few of them get the palms greased. And so you, the taxpayer, end up either being closely situated to an area that they have to cap it with cement or cap it with asphalt or some impervious layer. And that land now is rendered pretty much useless unless you get some guy that comes along with a fancy idea of putting a solar farm on it. But why I'm going to this length to share with you, I want to enlighten you and the great understanding you have of this, and I'm not trying to impress you or get you into the big language of the agorism or what have you. This is just simple everyday work that you could be aware of and know about the environment. Now, I'll give you a little background on a couple of things. I'm going to be talking later about the Hawaiian homeland, and we've talked last week about the pollution and the contaminants that hangs out on those lands and the tolerance for this behavior within the agency. And so what happens, whether it's the Department of Transportation, whether it is the Department of Health, the Department of Hawaiian Homelands, or the Department of Land and Natural Resources. I've come up with this term that deals with to describe the way the agencies deal with me and my issues and some of you, and that's institutional bullying. And that is that whether it's if I make a request for documents or they won't talk to you or they keep you at a length, arm's length, they don't really want to deal with you, you would think you, me, and the other taxpayers would be well received if we show up with information that would lend itself to the prosecution or the uncovering or the whatever discovery of contaminants in the environment. But it doesn't work that way. And it's not that they don't want to work. It's because there are relationships, because there's big money, because they've appointed people to head these agencies that are just busy trying to politicize and use their positions and parlaying it into golf games, jobs for their wives, jobs for the kids, and on and on and on. So that's why I'm talking at length about this, and it's not to because I didn't have anything to do, and it probably doesn't fit the normal format you anticipate on radio talk show. But there's the situation, the Kalailoa racetrack. And please pay attention to this, and this one is, if you're interested in greater understanding, that racetrack, there was a report to the health department that they had contaminated dirt and tires or some violations occurring. Now, this is land leased from the Hawaiian homelands. And there was a debate. So the Department of Health now, and I want you to listen closely and see the differences. So there's also a little bit of the agency can become vindictive. The agency can become, can attack you under the pretenses that it is a regulatory body and protecting the environment across the board. So they arrive. There's a Rogette Bernardino, who's an inspector, and a Nicole that from the health department went to the site, and I have the actual document. Went to the site, asked to inspect it. They were denied the right to enter the property, which there is a constitution here in the United States of America, these United States, that allows you to protect yourself or refuse unreasonable search of your property or privacy, whatever, invasion of privacy by authorities. So the way this report reads is that the health department inspectors arrived based on information they had received that there was a violation occurring or contaminants found on the property. So they were denied. So they then decided, they being the state government, that they would go get a search warrant. So they went and got a search warrant and came back. And the documents apparently show that there was no... what they came supposedly looking for wasn't there. So they decided to fine the racetrack people, and here's what they one of the items that they claim they're fining them for, and that is they refused to let them on the property and that they had to go get a search warrant. So therefore, having to go get a search warrant, they are going to fine them $10,000. So that means now, if we follow this line of thinking, that if a policeman or anybody in enforcement knock on your door and ask you, if we follow this process and ask you, we're here and we want to search your house, and you say, no, I think you should go get a search warrant if you want to search my house. I'm not giving you permission. And they return with a search warrant. They find nothing or whatever. And hopefully if they got a search warrant, they had to, gave the proper information and went to the courts and had to justify that there was a need for a search warrant. But let's just assume. And they do, and they come and then they don't find anything. They still got you on the hook because they now can fine you $10,000 because you told the policeman no. This is what happened at the Department of Health recently. And yet, in this case in Whitmore, I had to harangue these guys, and when we did, even the city Department of Planning and Permitting, even they were reluctant and then went and shucking and jiving and playing games with the, because it's who owns the land, the politics that gets involved. So you heard me talk about the Hawaii Community Development Board and the Hawaiian Homelands, Department of Hawaiian Homelands, and they have land, and I mentioned to you that I had filed a complaint with the health department back last year that there were contaminants being generated and released on these sites that were subleased by the lessee, Kaliwachan, or the HCDB. Now, I just found out that this was visible, and you can see the oil stains, and you can see all of the contaminants in the oil and the contaminants in the buckets and on the ground, what have you. The health department, the same inspector that went and asked for to be allowed to search a property, and then because they refused, went and got a search warrant, and then because they didn't find anything, decided we'll charge you because we have had to go get a search warrant. Yet, they did not go on the property of Hawaiian Homeland Department because, as I was told by the upper management, is that they attempted to contact Kali Watson and he never called them back, so therefore they just dropped it. So how is it that one entity can have, and I mean this is a chain link fence, you can see it, the oil and the contaminants and the conditions, you can see it, it's right there. And you're in the right place, you have a legal right to be there, so in plain view you had a right. And you knew that if you left it there, it would run off into the drains and into the environment and due to heavy rains and whatever. So you knew you had to take an action, or you should have taken an action. But instead, you did nothing because it was Carol Cox who filed a complaint. But this party that was doing part of the violations already had a $56,000 penalty at Sand Island and was operating another site in Kalailoa and Bobbers Point and Campbell Industrial Park. Yet, no citation, no search warrant, and no fines of $10,000, proposed fine of $10,000, for refusing to let them on because they just didn't call them back. That is institutional bullying. They have total control, and they're poisoning you by the minute, and poisoning me by the minute, and the environment, where they use, and in these two instances, you get the little guy. Why did we not see a convening? Normally what happens when you have something of this magnitude at Whitmore, this is what normal, healthy, well-advised enforcement people do, and regulatory bodies do. When they have something of this magnitude, and they know they basically in the position of a Cub Scout that is being deployed to Afghanistan, they know that they can't handle it, and rightfully so. So they convene a meeting with the EPA, with the Department of Health divisions or branches, clean water, clean air, solid waste, hazardous waste, and you convene a meeting. And you assign and you assemble a team, we'll call it a task force. And you contact Dole and you tell them you have cause. And the cause is you have two drivers and you have documentation and you have contracts and you have all of this and bodies willing and able to talk and sign affidavits. And then you can go to Whitmore and conduct a search or an inspection of the property, either with the permission of Dole or the permission of the subleasee or the tenant, or you can go get a search warrant like they did in Kalailoa. But if the company or the entity is bigger than you, so to speak, or can cause you to lose your job, you're not a bully then. you just become a pansy entity that an agency who walks in and be having to be compelled or forced to do your job. So you don't convene this. And yet you have things like clean water violations. You have things like clean air violations. You have two situations here that I'll also offer and pieces of information this to support my description of this institutional bullying. I don't mean an individual. It's different from an individual. It's an individual is being impacted by this, and you know, and that's horrible. But when a government entity or an institution is a bully, serves a search warrant, then if they find nothing, they then turn around and fine you because you forced them, because you exercised your civil rights, and you're going to get charged anyway. But then a company can have operations such as the Whitmore area, and you don't really want to go. And when you do go, you're looking the other way to the left and saying, I don't see the combine. I don't see the caterpillar. I don't see the bulldozer. You know, if you miss that, then I got a concert I can sell you. But anyway, you take this and you don't give a ticket. You don't give a violation notice. And you take this information and you process it from afar. But here's the trick. You bring in these factors. Well, the material that is going up there, some of it that is being dumped by this person. It's part of a contract for another state agency. So quite naturally, the way the law reads, CERCLA reads, you generate the waste, you're responsible for it. So in other words, if the State Department of Water or Recreation, Boating and Recreation, DLNR, contracts with this company to pick up their trash from the waters, then you agree with the person that's cleaning it up that they can take it to PVT. Well, that's number one, wrong. You can't take green waste to PVT, but it's in writing. Two, they take it and dump it up there, and they're stealing from the taxpayer because they're in the part of this cost that we, the taxpayer, is incurring. We're having to pay for that as part of the tipping fees, as part of the service. So the state health department then introduces that as an element. So now they're going to be a little more sluggish in going to that company because they're not worried about the impact on the environment, the impact on the human beings, and the impact on the animals. They're worried about the impact on their friends, and how is the governor going to look if this gets out that a state agency has contracted with an illegal dumper. This is what is in the psyche of these bullies, and that's what they are now. I mean, I've gone to them enough times now to realize they're not our friends. They're bureaucratic people that are inclined to do what's wrong by you and me rather than doing what's right. So what happens is that you take that's one state agency. So in this process, I discover, I take pictures and what have you, and there's another key to this. Now, we all know about H-power. The H-power burns their trash. And so there are some serious issues with the ash that's generated from the burning. Furans, dioxins, mercury, lead, all the whole laundry list of chemicals. So in this, I have photographs of metal, and I described it earlier. Some of it came from Schofield, but subsequent to all of this, I find that a lot of this metal actually comes from the H power plant. Now, why and how did metal burnt and then the ash from H-Power end up in a field in Whitmore? Well, I'm told now, and I'm still checking, and the person swore to me that these are the facts, and that the person also, the owner, told Stephen Chang that this material came from H-Power originally, and in turn it was done by Island Recycling. This is what, and I'm still working in the background looking for this. But I have the photos and the video of the metal there bleeding out of the hill. So what was happening is that they wanted to see if they could sift this material because it has ash and they just want to clean metal. This is non-ferrous, which is more expensive. You get a bigger dollar for it. So the contractor with the city somehow delivers a truckload of this metal with ash and proceed to sift it. This is a story being told. And that they wanted to see because they could separate the ash. The question I have is that where is the city at in this? And when the city delivers this to this contractor and the contractor takes it upon himself to try and take this material in this area and leave it, what do you do? Once again, these are the factors that influence our government entities or agencies, whether they will do something. It's not what, it's who that triggers their, if they want to move their butts and take legal action and do what's right to protect us all. They first have to sort through what are the political ramifications, what are the political players, who are they, how is this going to backfire on me, and then we'll get to the environment, but we'll get to the environment in a way that we are just going to charge them for operating outside of their permit, and we won't bother to arrest them or prosecute them for dumping contaminants, dumping hazardous materials, filling in a gully, and what have you. I have another caller who was a driver for this company, these companies, and I would like to welcome him and ask him to share some of the background and on this Whitmore thing. And this particular driver had called me some 7 months ago, I would say, to share with me what was happening. And I told you earlier last week that we'd been looking at this, but it was just too difficult to get in. But caller, good morning. Thank you for calling. You want to share some of the background? And quite naturally, I don't want to disclose his name or her name or whatever. Just the facts are there, and if they're not, I'm willing to challenge anyone on this issue because I've seen it, I've been there, and I have the information. And have seen the log books, so I know. So good morning, caller. Thank you for calling.
Good morning. I would just like to say, yeah, that I work there. You know, I hauled various material from various places and dumped up there.
Mm-hmm.
One of the places was Schofield Barracks.
Mm-hmm.
Hauled in, like, a lot of grub from up there.
Mm-hmm.
And we filled it in a gully.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, I've known that there are many truckloads.
Mm-hmm.
And also from area down in town, we hauled in some, like, adobe dirt, I guess you'd call.
Mm-hmm.
Sticky dirt. We dumped it in there. And there's a whole lot of...
How about concrete? Did you you familiar with that? Of coral sands or anything? Have you hauled any?
I hauled some stuff from Kahi Point.
Mm-hmm. The power plant.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Just like whatever you have it on the side of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe like 5 truckloads dumped it in the gully.
When you say truckloads, can you describe, because it's not pickup trucks, is it, or what size? Or
That was a tandem at the time.
Tandem, I mean, a lot of listeners don't drive trucks, but it means tonnage or cubic yard. Is that large, a tractor-trailer truck type, when you say tandem?
That's just a, yeah.
Okay.
It's maybe about 30 yards, 35 yards per dump.
Okay. And so you would haul that, and this is not green waste, right? This is, what, coral, sand, and what else?
Yeah, coral, sand, like from the side of the hill.
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, we just dump it in there, and, you know, we mm-hmm. did a lot of dumping in there.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
how many truckloads could you estimate that you would have knowledge of that have gone in there? I mean, I know you can't recall the exact. But if you give us just a rough estimate that you would know of that went in there.
Oh, I would say I know one company dumped about 70 to 80 loads.
And tractor trailer loads, right?
Yeah.
And then that what was that too? Also, on the road, I noticed there's a lot of coal plane busted up. Were they trying to build a road, or were they trying to dispose of this coal plane?
They're trying to build the road.
Mm-hmm. And yeah. Did they have, you know, if they had permits to do this or anything?
No. Never heard of no permits.
Mm-hmm.
Not sure on that, but yeah, they're building roads.
You know, regarding the entrance and access to that property, I spoke to the owner, well, both of them, and they said, well, it could be just anybody dumping. Is that possible? Was that area locked or secured, or did all, as a driver, did you need a key to access that area?
All the drivers would have the combination.
Mm-hmm.
And each time you go in, you dump, you come out, you'd have to lock it.
Mm-hmm.
And that was specifically because they didn't want anybody going in there.
I see, and dumping.
And dumping, or see what's going on around, you know, all the dumping that we've been doing.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And also, like, even if we're going back and forth, and we'll be back, we still would have to lock it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, not like you would have, leave it open and, you know, at the end of the day, lock it.
Right.
Each time you go in, come out, you lock it.
Mm-hmm. Would you say, now, one of the other drivers shared with us that they decided, the owner said that, had represented that we're just going to do this and it'll be growing over and we'll be moving. So therefore we wouldn't.
Yeah, I've heard them. I heard that before. You know, once it's covered, you don't know what's under it until you find it out.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Also, are you familiar with CAM4 housing? Do you know anything about that, or did you drive any of that material from CAM4? CAM4 housing, that was a construction site.
No.
Mm-hmm. How about fence posts and things of that nature? And cement.
No cement.
No cement. But just what you witnessed, dirt, grub, green waste?
Yeah. I've also took out a lot of green waste from Hickam Air Force.
Mm-hmm.
Got a yard in there, some mulch from there.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And so a lot of these are government contracts, huh?
Yeah.
Now, how does that work? Does you as a driver, did you have to share with the or record, or were you ever checked by military people or anybody that contractors that were contracted with military to make sure you folks were dumping it at the right place?
No, nothing like that.
So it was
just pick it up, take it to wherever we was taking it up in Whitmore,
mm-hmm.
dump. And mm-hmm. supposedly they supposed to turn that into, you know, mulch or
green waste.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Make soil conditioner, but most of it was just all stocked up there.
Right.
Like a big fire hazard or something.
Mm-hmm. So anything else? But the books speak for themselves. I guess I could ask. Right.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Did you folks haul some stuff from St. Louis schools? St. Louis schools. I think the job was Royal Company. Royal was doing some work up there, and that material went to Waimanalo.
Yeah, that went up to a Waimanalo Reservoir. That was rocks.
Just all rocks, huh?
Yeah, they was using it to like barricade the dam.
Mm-hmm.
Because they thought it had a leak, so, yeah, it was hauling it.
Mm-hmm. Okay. Yeah. So if the state were able to get logbooks, they'll be able to tell exactly. And if it says that it went to PVT, would it have gone to PVT, or can we trust?
Yeah, because it was rare that we took stuff to PVT or West Oahu.
Mm-hmm.
Most of the dumping that I did, I would say, was all at Whitmore, or if it was going to another job site, there it would go.
Mm-hmm.
But it was rare, unless we had like a demolition or, you know, it would go. But yeah, the books would say for itself.
Right. You, up there, I saw some notes that says, there was at Y Mile Road, there was some dirt, rock, and concrete that went. This was back in October of 2011.
Mm-hmm.
Do you remember anything like that?
No, I don't recall.
Okay. And then, did you ever see C.J. Peterson, or did you folks ever haul for C.J. Peterson from any of their work sites?
We did. They're doing the field in Millie Lining High School, and we took a lot of the scraping of the field, like the grass, dirt, all up in Whitmore also. We dumped.
I see. And
that one wasn't in the gully. That one was on the side.
I see. So that was a kind of material. So pretty much anybody that would contract with you folk, or for it could easily end up in the valley, up in the canyon, huh?
Yep, or unless we had a use or was going to sell it or something, or make, you know, some topsoil with it, yeah, we'd take it.
Okay.
Other than that, we'd basically just backfill the gully.
So, yeah, I guess...
And that was also, like, I would say maybe 60 loads from the field came out.
From Millie Lining High School?
Yeah.
So 60 tandem
about
loads?
About there, roughly.
And it all just went
and dumped? It would take more.
And it was just dumped up there?
Yeah.
Okay. Did they ever tell you anything about contaminated soils going up or anything like that?
No, I never heard of nothing of that. I never heard of it being checked or...
Yeah, now I know that you the state health department got your contact information. Have they contacted you yet?
Not yet.
And this has been now, I've given you the information and them the information now for about close to 2 weeks, but no contact, huh?
No.
Did they ask you if you were willing to go up with them and show them the specific areas where these things were buried or dumped?
No, they just said if they had any further questions or anything, they would contact me.
Okay. And this is because you contacted them? Or did they contact me? Okay, after you gave me the permission to give it. Okay.
Yeah.
All right, well, thank you. Hopefully they contact you soon.
Yeah, definitely. Right. If there's any other way I can help or any other questions, yeah, definitely.
All righty, well, thank you.
All right, thank you very much.
All right, brother, thank you.
Bye-bye.
Now, some of you are probably listening and going, what is this? Well, what it is I think that you'll get the big picture, and it's... As I say, it's not following the normal process of what you sound bites and all. And it's just talk story. And I want to convey to you that, as I've said many times, we talk about how fragile, how pristine, how irreplaceable, and how rare these resources are, whether we're talking about the EEV, the Apapani, or the bristle-thighed curlew, or the native plants, you would think, you would, in my opinion, personally, I couldn't imagine, given the fragility and the nature of the flora and fauna here and the rarity of it, that we would even approach this process or lend ourselves to being so lackadaisical or drag our feet, we would be top-notch, some of the best science, some of the best enforcement, some of the best regulatory efforts, and all of that, if, in fact, we believe that this was an irreplaceable, fragile, unique environment. But we treat this place like it's a cesspool. And that's what it's going to become. Only good for mongoose and human beings that's willing to eat one another. Good morning, caller. You have a comment or question?
Hi, aloha. Good morning.
Yes, good morning.
Yes, I agree with your last statement. Mongooses and human beings willing to eat each other.
Yeah, that's what we're headed.
I was listening earlier.
Uh-huh.
You had mentioned about the responsibility of having toxic waste materials based on the generator of the actual toxic substance,
mm-hmm.
which it would be homeowners, basically,
right.
who inherit maybe a home that has asbestos
mm-hmm.
or iron painted. And those kind of substances that are now considered to be carcinogens, yeah,
mm-hmm.
and
right.
what have you.
Right.
Now, I'm listening to this, basically, the truck drivers and the and your last guests
mm-hmm.
were mentioning that they were dealing with government, and it seems that the government is the generator of this toxic substance. Because if a homeowner is a generator, certainly that would be applicable to a government.
Mm-hmm. Right.
And it seems to be that, when you normally make a contract to do any kind of work, yeah, with a valid, bona fide and insured organization, yeah, you draw up a contract. And within that contract, if you're having somebody dump something from your premise, yeah,
mm-hmm.
You certainly would have in the contract that once the people remove it, whoever's contracted, they become responsible for the substance, whatever it may be, yeah?
Right.
Whether it's a landfill, whatever, or toxic stuff.
Yeah.
You certainly would not go into a contract with Joe Blow Construction and you would still be liable, no matter what he does, if he takes it to the pulley and dumps it over the pulley.
Right, right.
You know? And it seems to be that of course, again, we're going back to the government, who has that responsibility
mm-hmm.
to ensure that these things are going on. Now, if the government is doing things wrong, how can the public expect them to adhere or toe the line or walk the straight line?
Mm-hmm.
And it seems to be this is what we've had. This is festered. And as long as people can get things done cheaper, yeah, if you
right.
hire a contractor who's bona fide and everything and has all the credentials, you will pay more money than one who is just a fly-by-night guy walking around,
right.
driving around with a truck and looking for something to haul.
Right. Well, one of the things that I would point out, I say institutional bullying, and that is, let's just take a job at Schofield Barracks. The government is eager, and we see them put lots of effort and time and money in environmental impact statements when they want to accomplish something with that benefit them. And even though they will do the surveys, they will do the funsies, they will do the all of the protocol and the procedures that are, they follow them to the T. But after that, after they've satisfied that to get what it is that they want, whether it's building a mall or bringing in the striker or putting up a telescope or a listening device so they can hear what stupid things that I talk about, and they do that, then after they've gotten that and it looks so good, they don't give a darn about what trucking company or what the generator or what the contractor will hire or who it will hire. Isn't that funny? That is such... the behavior of a true bully is that...
Yeah, well, they're covered their butt, yeah?
Well, not really. They just to get and to appease the legislators what they want and you know, get the grant, get the money, and the development or the Pentagon, whatever the task that they want. Oh man, they follow it and dot their I's and cross their T's, and they have the environmental staff. But then all of a sudden, it's like a wet napkin. Once you've used it, you don't want to touch it again.
Yeah.
You follow?
Well, you know, in the past 20 years, I'd say, basically, the organization that has had the most concentrated construction
mm-hmm.
in Hawaii, namely on Oahu, has been the military.
Yeah.
They have replaced all of their housings.
Mm-hmm.
And the military, basically, all of the housings. At once upon a time, only government could afford asbestos.
Mm-hmm.
Everything they built with basically had asbestos in it.
Right.
Because asbestos was the fire protective ingredient. Yeah. That was necessary to put into concrete or materials, what have you, on it. Outside people couldn't afford asbestos. And now with all the construction of the new housing, every hillside that you look on the west end over there of Oahu, there's new construction of military housing.
Mm-hmm.
So they are the ones that are accumulating all of this and dumping this.
Right. And we've demonstrated that with the, let's take, for example, Hickam Air Force Base, Schofield, Kaneohe. When they developed this, we know that they had high levels of chlordane and dieldrin and aldrin in the soil. We know that. That's not so we know that they wrote up this beautiful plan to address and to treat it and what have you. But at the end of the day, with that sophistication, after they've satisfied everything on paper, they handed this material to trucking companies who were able to disperse this material by the truckloads for fee to private citizens, knowing that the material was contaminated. So what does the state do? What does the bully do, the junior bully in this process? The bully, the state health department, goes and raises the levels to allow this to be legal. I'm sorry, you know, might sound mouthy, but that's what it is.
I totally agree.
It's,
I mean, when you read their report, it makes you cry that they're so concerned,
mm-hmm.
you know? They mm-hmm. covered all bases. I mean, you read their report, you break out in tears, and they say, wow, these people are very sensitive to the needs of the people.
Mm-hmm.
But in actuality, it is not happening.
Yeah. And I think
we need to reconvene the Committee of Safety.
Well, or something, or start.
Okay.
All right,
keep listening, brother.
Thank you.
You got me.
All righty. All right.
Aloha.
Aloha. You know, so we talk about contaminants and lack of control and containment and documenting and just handing it off as if it's a football play, the play that the quarterback gets the ball and passes it to another guy and he runs back across the backfield and passes it to another guy. This is what you see with these government agencies, whether it's military, whether it's a state regulatory. So here's some of the little trickery that they even bully one another. So take, for example, they want to put in wave generating machines, they being the military, and they want to put these machines out there in Kaneohe Bay, and they've actually had one or two there in place. So I raised the issue some years ago. Well, the type and the design, you didn't get it approved and all, but what if a turtle were to get caught in the cylinder? Dead meat. This is an endangered, threatened species. What about the birds that come and see something in there? The boobies, that the brown booby, the mask, well, not the mask so much, but the brown or the red-footed booby. And what about the other seabirds, migratory birds? So right there, so what the big bully does is say to the state, this is our water area. This is an exclusion area. So the little bully says, oh, okay. We understand. And then if you don't understand, if they don't hear, if the military does not hear that you agree with them as a state, then the phone rings and it's the senator's office whether it's Akaka, Hirano, or the military folks have implemented, used a bullying tool now to get the implements of a bully to do things. And so recently you saw in the news that they were listing different species that were endangered, and finally we're going to... Let me tell you something. Personal knowledge. These species should have had a designation long, 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 long time ago. But they sat on their thumbs, the Fish and Wildlife Service and others and the administrators. Because, you see, if you designate an area or a species that's endangered and sensitive or what have you, critical habitat is needed, then you can't bring strikers in if this plant or this species is found on Pohakaloa, for example. So, again, I'm just giving it to you in pieces, and I hope that you understand I'm not crying or whining, but when we talk about the environment and we talk about environmentalism, there are some of us who understand the total depth of it and willing to speak out about it, and there are some of us environmentalists that are willing to ask for donations, make a poster, give you a talk, and move on and go get a state job or government job. I'm not going to do that for you. I'm going to tell you things that you can go away and then assemble your own thoughts. But there is an act of bullying that occurs at all levels of the government, whether it's for you who don't understand that if you see dust flying from a work site, you call the health department. You might receive a response such as this. Well, I'm sorry, this department doesn't do, we don't do air, dirty air. Okay, thank you. What you should hear is that, I'm sorry, you have reached a solid and hazardous waste branch, but that particular activity violation is covered by the health department, but in a different division, the clean air branch. But if you are an organization of bullies, you want that phone call to stop right there, because you don't want to go out and tell this business who got this $6 million government contract to stop, because you don't want it on your dinner plate and having to go and explain to the governor or anybody that why you as an administrator allow this to happen. But if it's a crackhead on a moped, you can go do your thing. You see why I conclude and draw the conclusion and the analogy that this is the government, when it comes to the environment, I don't know in details other things, but the government, in the way they operate here, the government, the state, federal, county, city, all of them operate as bullies. You have someone to dump trash on your lawn, and you know, and you have the pictures, the city will tell you it's your problem, you better clean it up. And if you have a responsibility to clean it up, you have to go take civil action against the party that dumped it. But they're going to hold you accountable, and they're going to send their inspectors out, and they're going to cite you because it's you, the landowner. So why are they so harsh in their approach? On one hand, when it comes to the single private landowner or the property owner or the citizen, but when it comes to a company like Dole or like the military, they make excuses. So this whole process, and why I talked about this, this is in the environmentalism that exists at a higher level. And, you know, when people dismiss you, well, you're an environmentalist. Yeah, I'll leave it at that, because your brain would explode if I began to explain to you the greater details of how you're being screwed, and all that you can do is come up and pigeonhole me or others that are willing to deal with this and sort through the nonsense as, quote, environmentalists. There's a lot more to it and a lot more brain cells being used than is obvious when it comes to understanding environmentalism. A lot more. Because you got to factor in the social, economical, all those aspects, and then the dirty little human spirit that sometimes get tainted by the dollar or by power or by sheer disrespect for other people. So that's what we're dealing with in this thing called environmentalism. And we're going to talk about DHHL, and I sent a number of questions to them. Once again, when you're a bully, you don't have to pay attention to the public, but I will get you the answers, and I'm sorting through documents. The DHHL, the one is supposed to preserve the people and their interests, the native people, and their interests in well-being. That's DHHL. And one is supposed to protect the historical and the cultural history. And both are failing. SHPTI, State Historic Preservation, under the State Department of Land and Natural Resources. I was going to share with you, and I'll talk about it next week. I did get a call from Patty Barbie, and she wants to meet about these things, and I might go and talk, but I don't, you know, having second thoughts, I would just like to see everyone do what's right by the people and leave it be. I'm thinking now I don't need to know their operations. What I see in documentation is sufficient, but we'll get to that when we come to that bridge and cross it. But again, this is just, I'm trying to share with you what life is about when it comes to cancer clusters, endangered species lists increasing and growing, and buildings coming up and being erected, and you'd think, wow, well, when does it stop? Is it following a management plan? Is this consistent and conducive to quality of life for humans and the environment? But again, I think in 30, 40 years, the only chatter that you'll see is a mongoose, that the fad will be you pick a mongoose and you dye his hair blonde or pink and call him a pet. Because that's all we're going to have left. But anyway, I'll talk to you next week, and take care. Watch out for those dumpers. Don't let them dump on you.
I came home looking for my baby, and she was gone. My neighbor said she went out to find Rachel, and they both were going to get stoned. I got so mad as I could be when they said she wanted Wilson Pickett to pick up peaches from a tree or put her down. Yeah, 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 gonna put her down. Gonna put that little girl down. She's trying to play me for a clown. What happened? She finally came home. I was still sitting there fretting. She said, I just came back to change my clothes. I'm going out to find Otis Redding. And when I get through balling, I gotta catch $1,000 a check. I said, you don't make that kind of money. She said, I got it from Joe.
Thank you for tuning in to the Carol Cox Show, heard every Sunday mornings from 8 a.m. to 10 a.m. right here on K108. Tune in again next time for the Carol Cox Show right here at KWAI Honolulu.